Well, I entitled this sort of to follow the titles that we were having, and we were having that series on the Apostles' Creed. And then Terry last week preached on the having trust in the return of Christ, our faith, our trust in the return of Christ. I wanted to name this our trust in the Holy Spirit, but also I sort of changed the title a little bit, our trust in the third person of the Trinity. Because the Apostles' Creed is a Trinitarian faith. It's very ancient. I've studied it in history, early church history, where it was a baptismal creed, where they used to baptize people three times in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. So, I got to catch my breath. Well, that's where it was, and that's how the creed was. People, as they went down the next time, they would confess the next part. And then they would confess the next part. And then they would confess the next part. Well, this is a Trinitarian faith. This confesses our Trinitarian faith that God is a divinely mysterious unity of three different distinct persons, and yet they are one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one God, and that third person, the third person, the Holy Spirit, he only gets a really short, I believe in the Holy Spirit, in this creed. And yet the Bible, number one, begins with the Spirit hovering over the waters at creation. Number two, it ends with the Holy Spirit joining the church and telling people, take the free gift of the water of life. And then three, the Bible owes everything between its covers to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So, wow, big time. He's a real important member of the Trinity doing this Bible for us. But he got poor recognition, pretty poor recognition, just like only one little phrase in the Apostles' Creed, during the time after the early church era. Until around the late 1700s and the 1800s, during the holiness movement, and started spreading again the idea of the Holy Spirit and his work. And then in the 20th century, the mid 20th century, it's still going on in some places, in some countries, and hopefully in our hearts, the charismatic movement that was cross-denominational, when all kinds of churches, it's where we get the praise songs, we just sang one of them. And there was such beautiful things came out of the charismatic movement. And then the books just flooded the Christian market about the Holy Spirit. Mainly, it was about a focus on his gifts and on having an experience with the Holy Spirit. And that was exciting. But it was also controversial. There was a lot of disputing going on around the Holy Spirit. But the unity, not division, unity was what the creed was established for, to bring unity to the churches. So that's a little bit about who the Spirit is, okay? But what this message is about is more about whom we trust when we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, whom we trust. Because following Jesus requires the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ himself, my first point, Christ himself needed the Holy Spirit in his life, throughout his life. He initiated the miraculous conception of Christ in Mary's womb. He was at Jesus' baptism, and he descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. And then Jesus was about himself, who was claiming the fulfillment for himself of what Isaiah had prophesied long ago when he quoted this. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, anointing me to preach good news to the poor, proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. And that same anointing that Jesus was talking about and that anointing that was on him now rests on us. It now rests on us. And in another place it says that Jesus, and you think, here God became one of us in flesh, so he could come down to earth so that he could learn exactly what we learn. And what do we learn? We learn to praise God. And so it says that the Spirit filled him. He was full of joy through the Holy Spirit and praised his Father. Well, that same Spirit longs to fill us so that in joy, through his joy, we can also praise God, praise the Father. So I believe in the Holy Spirit says, I trust in him. I trust in the Holy Spirit. But it also says, I entrust myself to the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus did. I mean, that's what he did down here. He entrusted himself to the Holy Spirit. So to follow Jesus, we need the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew exactly what his bride, the church, would need when he left. So he sent us the very same comforter that stayed with him during his whole earthly ministry. And then this passage that was read today, our text, the last verses of this passage, Jesus says this. He says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. My second point here is that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, continues to shepherd us through the Holy Spirit. And he shepherds us with guidance. He wants to tell us more. He says, there's more things I have to tell you. So he wants to tell us more with guidance. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it talks about this. It says, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God freely has given us. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How do we have the mind of Christ? We have the mind of Christ because Christ lives inside of us through the Holy Spirit. For believers to learn about God's concerns, the Holy Spirit must give his vision to us for our decisions and his voice to make choices in this life. And so we're saying, what should I do today? How should I spend my day, Lord? Is there something you want me to do? And we need to be listening to the Holy Spirit for guidance. And then he shepherds us with boldness, with boldness. Jesus wants us to be courageous. One survey was taken that showed only 10% of Christians tend to share their faith consistently. And that's sort of sad. It's really sad. But prayer can change that. We're coming up to Pentecost. And Pentecost is a great time to talk about the Holy Spirit. And then the whole book of Acts, where Jesus is continuing his work, is doing it through the disciples, through the Holy Spirit. And here's what it says in Acts when the church was gathered together, like we're gathered together today. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Whoa, what if that happened to us? And all of us started saying, you know, I'm going to start talking about God's word boldly and bring it into the conversation. There are so many things in the Word of God that are not like caustic and going to make people feel uncomfortable. They're beautiful things, especially in the Psalms and in the Proverbs, what we could memorize. And then if they're memorized in our hearts, when it comes to a time where, oh, that's where that fits. And you could bring that up. So sharing the Word of God boldly. And then he shepherds us with growth. With growth. Jesus wants us to be fruit bearers, to bear fruit. Well, there's another survey that showed that there was little variation between what non-Christians and Christians had as viewpoints on abortion, on promiscuity, drunkenness, pornography, profanity. It went on and on. And it's like, yeah, I've noticed that sometimes, that this person says they're a Christian, but they've got these attitudes that are worldly. Well, Jesus displaces the value system that we've absorbed, that we've sort of like been sitting this cultural soup, and through the media and everything, we absorb these ideas that we shouldn't be absorbing, and how he displaces them is by replacing them with his values, and he lists those values in Galatians, where it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Let me read them from chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I know there's this one song we sing at the youth camp that we go to sometimes. And they sing it so fast, I can't remember. The words are just shooting like, and I thought, that's not the way to sing that song. We need to really slow down and sing those words carefully. Well, fruit bearing. This is really strange because fruit bearing, we say it's the fruit of the Spirit. But wait a minute. What's our part? We have a role in fruit bearing. And it's Jesus belongs to us by us receiving him. But we belong to him by surrendering to him. And that's a choice of the will that we have to do. And sometimes we have to do it every day. The two verses that follow the lists of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, the next verses, 24 and 25, listen to what they say. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires, those worldly things we were talking about. Since we live by the Spirit who gave us new birth, by the Spirit who brought Jesus into our hearts, gave us a new life. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us keep our walk, how we live. Let it be a holy life from the Holy Spirit that lives within us. How many of you know CPR? Okay, there were some nurses over here that know CPR, and they had to take it again and again. Hopefully they never had to use it. Well, I had to use it in the emergency department, not in labor and delivery. I had it in the emergency department. I used it again and again, and a lot of times it didn't work out. CPR. Despite chest compressions and despite, you know, those defibrillation things, despite that, a patient will die without a good supply of oxygen. And that's what you're trying to get anyway. You're trying to get oxygen into that person. And we look at ourselves, our church, ourselves, our lives, our church. We may have nice singing, and I love the singing. And we may have nice sermons, and you may love the sermons. But without God breathing his breath on us, without that wind of the Holy Spirit coming and blowing on us, we don't have any spiritual life for kingdom living. We're supposed to be kingdom living. I mean, we're part of the kingdom. We should be living the life of the kingdom. But we need that breath. We need the wind of the Holy Spirit. To have guidance, to have boldness, to have spiritual growth, our church must let Jesus blow that breath on us, that breath of the Spirit on us. Following him requires the Holy Spirit's presence and his power. The last point here is this. The Holy Spirit multiplies Jesus in us, in the lives of believers. The Holy I think that's one of the things that you say, David, you've preached on that an awful lot. I'm not going to stop. He wants to multiply his life through us, and he does that through the Holy Spirit. Christ's plan was to finish what he started through us. He wanted to finish what he started through us. To empower us, he sent the same person who empowered him. And here we're coming up to Pentecost season. Here's the key verse of Pentecost season. In verse 8, Jesus said before he ascended, but you will receive power when the Spirit comes on you. Power for what? To complete the mission. To continue the mission. Jesus wants his mission to continue. He had said that two chapters prior to this. For this passage we're talking about in chapter 14, in verse 12. I tell you the truth, Jesus said. Anyone, not just the disciples, but anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Oh, that's hard to take. That's hard to believe. No, it's not. What was Jesus doing? He was listening to his Father through the Holy Spirit. That's what he was doing. Now, that's what he says. You're going to be doing that too. If you really believe in me, you're going to be listening to the Holy Spirit too. And keep on doing this work that I'm doing. I mean, I'm leaving, but I'm giving you the Comforter. And he's the one that did help me do the work. Because I did it. It was the Father's work, and I did it by obedience. And that's what he wants us to do. So, the last part of the book of John, in the next to the last chapter, Jesus is resurrected, he shows up, and he's talking to his disciples, and he says, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now, wait a minute. Isn't forgiveness God's realm? Come on. Isn't that God's realm? Yes, it is God's realm. But just remember who lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit has brought Jesus to indwell us, and Jesus wants to keep on spreading forgiveness around the world. So what are we? We need to spread forgiveness. We need to spread forgiveness. That's a hard thing for us sometimes. Our wills get in the way. Our emotions get in the way. Our bitterness, our hurts from the past. First of all, we need to forgive people, and then we need to help other people forgive people. But don't worry. We're not responsible for the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit's job, the Holy Spirit's work. All we're to do, we're to explain the gospel. We can explain the gospel. Just tell them, Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Went back to heaven, and now he sends the Spirit. So you can also do the same thing. You can spread the good news too. Well, that's one thing. Or we can give our personal testimonies. But we can't convince anybody. That's God's job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. It says in verse 8 of this passage we just read, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. So what is our job? Our job is to have available minds, sensitive hearts, and obedient wills. Let's listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying, and then let's obey what he's saying. Because he may want us to talk to somebody and help them get through. You know, one of the things, I'm studying psychology a lot. I don't know why, but as I'm winding down my life and being facing this cancer and everything that's flaring up with metastasis and all that kind of stuff, I'm so much interested in studying, and I'm studying cosmological astrophysics, so you're going to hear a lot of good examples from Hubble Space Telescope and that kind of stuff in my sermons to come. And I've been studying molecular biology, and I'm looking even more than I did when I was in a nursing school, of studying how we're built. And both things really, really show the glory of God and how he's such a great designer and an artist. And yet, another thing that I'm thinking about is psychology and psychotherapy. Yes, I'm studying psychotherapy. And I don't know how I'm going to use it. But I do know this. People have hurts. And it's those hurts that usually sets them off kilter in their lives. And they must have forgiveness for those they've hurt, and forgiveness for those that have hurt them, and from their own things that they have done that have contributed to that. So it's, I know this thing of forgiveness is so, so important. So Jesus said, this was the last verse of that chapter. He said, I'm repeating it again. The Holy Spirit will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. You may have heard this illustration, but there was a chemistry professor who was giving a test, but he was very gracious. And he allowed the students to bring in a single sheet of paper on which they had had as much information as they could fit on it for the test. So this one student came in, he drops the paper, a blank sheet of paper, on the ground. He waits when he, I guess that was the sign. In from the outside comes a grad student and stands on that paper and helps him take the test. And you know, and that's exactly anything you can fit on that paper to take the test. Well, he did. That was smart. The help that we need in life's tests, and boy, we keep having them. They keep coming. The help we need in life's tests isn't WWJD, what would Jesus do? It's WWJD, what will Jesus do? What will he do in me? What will he do through me, through the Holy Spirit? As God's children, we're often forgetful. We forget who we are and whose we are. It's not enough to repeat, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Following Jesus means that we've got to have his power and his presence in our lives. We don't have stained glass windows, and we used to have those banners that we could have that looked like stained glass windows. But stained glass windows tell stories, usually. I mean, in most places. They're not just artsy, but they also have figures in them and telling a story. Could be a Bible event or a divine miracle, maybe a gospel narrative or something like that, or could be church history. But it's telling stories. And the people outside who walk outside the church, they don't remark, it's nothing remarkable there. It's just a church, yeah. They don't see those windows. But inside, with the sunlight pouring through them, the colors ignite and the windows come alive and the stories come alive. Well, the Holy Spirit isn't a stained glass window doctrine in a repetitive creedal statement that we do every time we have communion. His power, his presence and his power must pour through the windows of our hearts, making the truth of Scripture come alive to us. His presence must make the life and character of Jesus real in our own lives, as Jesus did and calls us to do. We must trust in the Holy Spirit and entrust ourselves to the Holy Spirit for his divine work to be done in us. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for this wonderful passage, and thank you again for coming to us. Never has the church been abandoned. We've always had you. We're so thankful, Lord, for the Holy Spirit, and Lord, help us to be more sensitive, our hearts, our ears to be open, our minds for your thoughts, to hide your thoughts, the thoughts of your word in our hearts, and then to be obedient when you want us to share them with others. Others who need forgiveness in their lives, both your forgiveness and their forgiving other people. Lord, because that's where all the psychological mess-up problems usually are. I pray, Father God, that you will just bless this time as we continue an openness, as we get more and more open after this long pandemic lockdown. I pray, Father God, that more and more people will be able to come to church. And I pray that we will continue to grow in the Holy Spirit's spiritual fruits, all these beautiful fruits in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.